Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada and by Home Equity Bank, provider of the CHIP reverse mortgage. Talking about money at any time can be very, very difficult within a family. I mean, different family cultures are different, but still, and talking about an inheritance can be a lot more difficult than any of the other topics because it brings to light the reality that we don't all live forever. But it is a crucial, crucial conversation to have. Erin Burry is CEO and co-founder of Willful. And she's here to talk about why it's more important now, maybe than ever before, to have these conversations with your family. She joins us from Wellington in Prince Edward County. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
When we use the phrase, we need to talk about inheritance, what does that mean? What are we talking about when we say that?
Well, Bruce, as the daughter of four sets of parents, my parents who are separated and divorced, and same with my husband's parents, what it really means is, what am I going to be burdened with after you pass away? You know, we always think about it in the context of getting this wild inheritance from a long lost aunt that allows us to buy a boat. But the reality is that when someone passes away, there's a lot of logistical things that you have to take care of, from closing up bank accounts to getting rid of personal belongings. And we just don't talk about any of that with our families.
And there is an enormous spectrum in terms of, if we just talk dollars, many families will have nothing on that front. They may have all the logistics and none of the dollars left in the bank account, and other families in which the dollars are significant. And that can come as a surprise to kids who didn't know that there was a financial transfer about to happen.
Exactly. Well, I mean, we did a survey with Angus Reid that found that only 39% of Canadians have actually discussed an inheritance with their parents. I'm sure the numbers are the same in the US. And so we're just not talking about any of that. We're not asking our parents about their funeral burial wishes. We're not asking them where the important life insurance paperwork is stored or whether they have a will and where it is. Mm. And we're usually not asking them about inheritances because there's also a stigma around that, right? Sure. No one wants to be the kid that says, hey, mom, how much am I going to get when you kick the bucket?
Yeah. And I am so excited. Here is how I'm going to spend your money. I'm spending it in this way. We have on this show had many conversations in this broad topic, including questions to ask your aging parents and going through the passwords and like all those specific details. But what interests me in particular is the idea of inheritance, like the monetary inheritance, and how you get that conversation going. Because, you know, I was talking to a family recently and they didn't know what the number was. And that was affecting life in the present, right? Because if you know that you're getting zero, you may plan for retirement in one way. If you know you're getting $1 million, you may plan for retirement in a different way.
Absolutely. And, you know, we did a survey recently that found, you know, the majority of parents intend to leave their children an inheritance, but way fewer children thought that they were expecting one. Because again, there's that gap in talking about it. And I think a lot of us assume, you know, we're not going to get anything because maybe my parents are going to spend it while they're alive. Maybe they just don't have much, right? Again, we don't know necessarily if they have savings accounts or life insurance policies that will come to us. So I think the best way to start that conversation is by talking about the larger pieces. What do you want your legacy to be, mom? How can I honor your legacy through your celebration of life? Talk to me a bit about, you know, am I going to be the one to organize that? Or are you appointing me as your executor formally? Or do you just want me to help someone else that you've appointed? And then when it comes to the financial aspect, give me a sense of where accounts are held and the logistics, or at least write that down so that I know where to find them. Now, you can't really, in a tactful way, say, mom, how much do you think I'm going to get when you pass away? But I think the idea is, once you open up those conversations, it kind of naturally comes out. Oh, yes, I have a life insurance policy. Here's my plan. You're on life insurance, you know, whereas I'm going to leave the house to so-and-so. That tends to naturally flow. But if it doesn't, I think you can be more pointed and say, hey, you know, I have these financial goals in my future. I know that I'm working really hard to achieve them. What's your philosophy on wealth transfer in our family? What did your parents leave to you? How do you see that working with your children? And what do you hope that I leave my children someday? So put it into that larger context of your entire family and less about what you get when something happens.
The other thing that those conversations may illuminate is a real asset deficit or a cash flow deficit. And this we hear too, where aging parents are if not hiding, then not disclosing fully their financial circumstances, and their kids don't know that they are struggling and that they're, you know, putting groceries on a credit card and concerned about how they're going to pay property taxes because they don't have the funds and the wherewithal to address some of those financial planning questions.
Well, exactly. And those are the types of things that you should be asking if you are being appointed as an executor, because if someone passes away and their estate is insolvent, meaning, you know, they don't have enough money to pay off the debts that they have, then that's going to be a real headache for you as the executor. So, you know, that to me is more of a logistical question. Hey, mom, dad, if I'm going to be your executor, I want to know what I'm getting myself into. You know, as it stands, do your assets outweigh your debts? Do you anticipate any issues with that? And it's not because, again, I want to know what my check's going to be at the end of the day. It's because I want to know if I'm walking into administrating an insolvent estate, which has its own set of challenges.
One of the big drivers of the real estate boom has been parents supporting their kids on a down payment. And sometimes that's, you know, they consider that a gift. Sometimes they consider that an early inheritance. Let's link that question into this conversation, because for, you know, a 20 something or a 30 something who wants to get into the housing market, it may be that they have enough credit in the emotional bank account to say to their parents, listen, I'd love to participate in the real estate market. One way that could work is for me to have early access to an inheritance. How would you start that conversation?
It's a great question. I mean, it's so true. If you think about, you know, even King Charles now, he waited until he was in his mid-70s to assume the throne and get any inheritance. As people live longer, life expectancies grow. It's not like you're funding your first home purchase with an inheritance from your parents. Hopefully they're living really long, full lives and spending a lot of that money, and there may not be a lot left for you. And more parents, there's definitely this trend of giving gifts while alive. And my husband and I talk about this all the time. We have a one-year-old daughter, and we love the idea of gifting her money to buy her first property or money to start a business earlier in her life so that she can actually see that money grow versus just leaving her everything. So, you know, part of that is just figuring out, how do I ask mom and dad for a loan or ask them about, you know, hey, I need some help. Is there anything that we can sit down and talk about creatively? And then they can be the ones to kind of, again, share that philosophy. What's your philosophy on passing on your wealth to me, to others, to charities, and putting it in that larger context can hopefully get them thinking about it without it seeming like you're just looking for that check.
I am personally very, very lucky given the relationships that I have with my parents. So these conversations are not difficult to have in my family of origin. For some kids, and some parents, that dynamic does not invite this level of discourse. Talk a bit about scenarios in which you wouldn't want to have this conversation about inheritance. And I don't mean like, do you have a will, that binary question, like, do you have one and where is it? I think everyone needs to ask that, even if there is acrimony in the relationship, but the more nuanced and the more detailed conversation about inheritance.
Well, listen, I mean, we have people coming to Create Wills on Willful every day because they've had some sort of drama in their family, right? Either because Uncle Joe didn't have a will and it created all of these issues, or Aunt Jane did have a will, but it cut these people out. I don't think that we can we can totally avoid people being surprised when someone passes away. And that's simply because every person has the right to keep those decisions close to their chest. You don't have an obligation to share your plans on how you're going to pass things on. And so as a family member, you have to remember you need to be respectful about it, and you need to respect the fact that they may not be willing to share that. And that, yes, there may be surprises when the person passes away, but that's their prerogative. And oftentimes people will say one thing and do another. I mean, look at the Scholastic CEO, you know, a really wealthy guy. He cut his two adult sons out of his will and left everything to one of his senior executives that he was in a relationship with who lived in Toronto. And that's a perfect example. He didn't owe anything to those adult children. Mm. They were independent. So at the end of the day, your parents don't owe you anything. They don't have an obligation to leave you anything unless you are financially dependent on them or you're a minor. Other than that, hopefully they're going to pass something on. Most parents, our data shows most parents intend to, but some people might not want to talk about it because they know you might not like the answer.
Yeah. And in our family, we talk about it. And what we say is, you're not getting anything, nothing. We well, my say husband, that only partly tongue in cheek.
My husband and I always say that. We say, you know what? We assume that there's no inheritance coming from our parents because A, we hope that they spend their money while they're alive and live long, full lives. But also, I don't want to bet my financial future on something that may or may not happen. If it does, it's a bonus and it can fund some of those things that are in the maybe column of our lives.
Yeah.
But relying on it is a surefire way to make it feel more opportunistic when it's discussed. But I mean, we just did a survey that found about 1 in 5 Canadians, especially in this financial climate, are relying on an inheritance to fund their goals. So we know it's going to become more important as boomers get older, as wealth transfers. It's how do you talk about it in a respectful way? And how do you make a financial plan that may not include an inheritance in the future?
Erin, thank you so much for your time and your wisdom on this.
Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Erin Burry, CEO and co-founder of Willful. We were here to talk about the importance of talking about inheritances. And yes, of course, all the things about estate planning and plans and passwords and paper and all that. But in this specific conversation, how do you broach the rather, fiery question of what the numbers are going to look like?